It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
That's right, it is Go Birds Radio. No James Seltzer today, sadly, but I'm Elliot Shore Parks. Here with my man, Ruben Frank. We got Eagles practice later today, but with you from 1 to 3 to talk about everything we've seen so far in camp. What's going on, Rube?
Yeah, and we'd like to thank Jack Fritz for doing the pregame.
For doing the pregame
for our show.
Yeah, whatever his name
was. We appreciate it. Yeah, Jack, Fritz and Rob Ellis for doing our pregame show. So this is the main event now. But yeah, it's great because we did a shift a few weeks ago and there wasn't a whole lot to talk about, but we're 3 days in now, three very eventful days of training camp. There's a lot to talk about. We'll take your calls. We'll talk Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts. There's a lot to get. Yeah. If there's a player you're wondering about, give us a holler and ask about him.
So we've been out there for 3 days now, and like Rube said, if there's anybody you want to know about, 215-592-9494. We'll take your calls, talk about any players you want to. But the first thing I wanted to ask you was, because I think my biggest takeaway from the first 3 days, outside of Jalen Hurts, and I have a lot to say about Jalen Hurts. I've been tracking every throw, as you know. You see me out there with my pen and my pad writing down every throw. But to me, the biggest question about this team coming into camp was Nick Sirianni.
I think it's still the biggest question.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, look, 3 days doesn't answer any questions. But coming in, it was, you know, will he be authoritative enough? Is he a good head coach? He's never called plays. He's never been a head coach. Through 3 days, I'm impressed with the camp he's running. I think it's been for a couple reasons. One, I think Nick Sirianni is running a tough camp so far. To me, it really said a lot that the first drill they ran of training camp was 11-on-11 red zone first team versus first team. He talked a lot about competition and wanting it to be a competitive environment. He set that up. Also, even though they have not had pads on yet, I think it's been physical practices. Guys are getting knocked over. Guys are going to the ground. Probably, you know, the offensive players aren't enjoying it as much. But Jonathan Gannon said this week when we talked to him that he likes that he has a head coach that allows him to be competitive like that, that wants the practices to be competitive. And finally, the last thing I really like about the camp so far is, so we're out there. Today is Saturday. We're out there on Friday. The days are already blending together a little bit. We're out there on Friday. It wasn't a good practice in the eyes of Nick Sirianni, and I've been covering 9 camps now, and he stopped practice, pulled them all together, and talked to them and tried to say to them, look, practice is not good enough. You need to pick it up. And then after practice, the players said, yeah, we noticed a difference afterwards. So you're seeing the players respond to him. You're seeing him be competitive, and you're seeing him run the camp I think he wants to run. And to me, that's been incredibly impressive.
Yeah, I agree. I'm surprised how short the practices have been, and they're not padded up yet. They're not allowed to be. So we'll see if they get longer. I would think they will. They should. They need to.
Yeah.
But they're very efficient practices. They're almost, I don't want to say Chip Kelly paced because that was kind of breakneck, but they're quick paced. There's not a lot of standing around. They're efficient. They're very well organized. You know, you see guys jogging from one drill to the other. There's not a lot of wasted time. They're efficient practices, but you're right about the ones versus ones. That's something Doug did not like to do.
No.
And now, you know, there's different ways to skin a cat, and Doug certainly had good practices and, you know, had success, but it's been interesting to watch that. It's all about competition. I like the fact that they grade every practice, they score it, and there's a winner and a loser. And And there's bragging rights. The first day, the defense won. The second day, the offense won. I don't think we know. We didn't find out. It was pretty close yesterday. I thought the defense probably won.
Yeah, I thought it was close. Look, I thought Jalen Hurts had his best practice at training camp yesterday. He had a few really nice throws, but I would agree overall the defense. But what stood out to me too, and you mentioned how they're grading every day. Like, we get to talk to the players after practice, and you can tell, I think at least, when a player's just saying something versus when they really care. They seem to be genuinely into, like, who's winning that day. Lane seemed very into it. Ryan Kerrigan seemed very into it. So I think Sirianni setting up this competitive environment is translating to the players in a very authentic way.
Yeah, and you see that competition. Like, you know, I kind of assumed Derek Barnett would get the first team reps. Josh Sweat would get the second, but that's not the way it's been. And you have young guys like Kayvon Wallace and Davion Taylor getting reps with the ones. You have guys all over the place. Everyone's getting a chance to compete with the starters. So it's not just lip service. Every coach talks about competition, but part of it is because there's not a lot of, you know, really established guys who really deserve to be declared starters right from day one. So I like it. This team needs that. They need guys who are getting pushed and being motivated to do better because they won four games last year. So I like it. I like what he did yesterday. Stop. I've never seen that, Elliot. Yeah. I've been doing this a few years more than you.
A little bit more, I would say.
A little bit more than you have. And I've seen coaches start drills over. I've seen coaches, you know, run plays over. You know, Kotite used to stand up there with his whistle and go, back in the huddle. But I've never seen a guy actually call a team meeting.
Yeah.
In the middle of practice, and
well, we thought they'd wrap practice up because that's normally what they do. You know, they'll all go to.
But it was 40 minutes in, so we something was up, and it was interesting because I just think you got to be careful when you do stuff like that. You got to make sure, and I think the thing that I liked was, I mean, they were going without a lot of the older players, you know, Kelce, Lane, Ertz. Those guys didn't practice. It was a really young group. And I think that there was a connection. There was a sloppy practice, and those are the guys that really need to be told to raise your level.
Yeah.
But you're right. The guys we talked to after practice really liked it, and they said the practice picked up after that. That's a feel. You got to have a feel. Boston Scott was pretty good talking about that. He said, you know, you got to really have a feel for your team and your players and how the day is going, and he did. And you know, but you got to be careful with that stuff because if you don't pull it off right, if the message isn't the right one, guys are going to roll their eyes at you and like, who is this clown? You know, this is high school Harry stuff. So I think for him, it worked. You got to be careful how much. You can't do that every day. You know, you can't, you got to wait for the right time. But I like the practices. I think Nick is winning guys over. I think the veterans seem to really like him, which is the main thing. Because if the Kelces and, you know, and Fletchers and BGs are buying in, then the young guys are just going to follow along. It only takes one older guy to, you know, to question a coach, and the younger guys are going to be like, well, he doesn't think this guy knows what he's doing.
I mean, I certainly ask Chip Kelly about that, right?
Yeah,
I mean, the older guys turned on Chip, and that was it. 215-592-9494. Call in if you have any questions about training camp players. You want to know how they've looked. Certainly are going to get into Jalen Hurts. One thing Nick Sirianni did do, I wanted to get your...
And Elliot said if you can't call in between 1 and 3, you're going to give your cell phone number out and people
exactly.
can just call you.
You can just text me afterwards. Text me, call me, whatever works best for you. We don't have practice till 5:30.
We got a couple hours
between... Yeah, we got time to kill.
Yeah.
What did you think of Nick Sirianni's decision to give the veterans off yesterday? So early into camp. I mean, there was two practices, and this was so they got day three off, and it was a lot of people. I mean, it was Kelce, Lane, I'm pretty sure, was off, Darius Slay, Brandon Brooks was off, Fletcher was off. I mean, Zach Ertz has basically been off the entire camp, but Zach Ertz was off. So he did give his veterans a day off the third day into camp. What'd you think of that?
Yeah, and you already had Rodney out and Brandon Brooks out with injuries. So I think everybody over 28 was off.
Yep.
It's unusual, but what if I suggest, and you know, I know you're always up for a good conspiracy theory.
Always.
What if he had it all planned out to give the older guy, he knew it would be a sloppy practice because you have all these young guys, undrafted guys, you know, guys who haven't been in the league, haven't been here. He knew it was going to be a sloppy practice, and he had that whole speech kind of planned out because without the veterans, with a new system and a new coach, it's going to be sloppy. It's early for it, but you know, I think more and more every year training camp is about the mental side of it and classroom work and meetings and film and learning and keeping older guys off. Hey, we've seen this team, how decimated they've been by injuries, mainly the older guys. So I'm okay with it. It was early. It was surprising. I figured maybe next week they get a day. But, I mean, Jason Kelce doesn't need to be out there at practice.
Yeah, and look, after Brandon Brooks went down, and it looks like he is going to be okay, I think yesterday with the veterans off, you know, we don't have a good idea if Brandon Brooks was going to practice, but we'll see today if he's out there. There is a part of me watching this team that's like, you know what, just rest all the offensive linemen until week one. They've played long enough. They've been together. Obviously, you're not going to do that, but as you mentioned, the injuries that they've had, they have been decimated with it. So my thing with giving the veterans off in day three, and I agree with you that it is early, is that the first two practices were far more physical than normal, I think, for the start of training camp, right? I remember under Doug, Doug would have the first days at 10-10-10, so you're basically a walkthrough at that point. That was not the case with Nick Sirianni. So the fact it was day three does raise some eyebrows, but ultimately because they were so physical the first 2 days, I don't think it was that big of a deal. About Nick Sirianni, last thing that we'll move on to Jalen Hurts, you've covered how many head coaches now with the Eagles?
Well, I covered Buddy, Kotite, Ray Bob, Andy, Chip, Doug, and Nick. Seven of them.
This is your seventh. So you've seen a lot of training camps. Overall, and you've touched on it a little bit, but just.
And Greasy Neal, of course.
There you go. Overall, though, what are your impressions so far of how he's running camp? And I know it's only a small sample size, but I'm just curious. I mean, compared to other coaches you've seen, some have had success, some have not. What's your overall thought on how Nick's handled camp?
It is early, but, you know, I'm okay with it. It's very different than what we've seen as far as the length of practice, but I'm okay with it. I want to see how these next couple weeks go. They're going to start having days off, built-in days off, and days off after games. I'd like to see practice a little longer.
Yeah, it's been short. Hour 15, hour 20.
Yeah.
So far, yeah.
But we'll see.
Doug would go 2.5 sometimes.
Yeah, and, you know, when this whole thing started, I mean, there was a 3-hour morning practice and a 2-hour afternoon practice with pads.
Yeah.
With live drills. So, no, you can't do that anymore. You're not allowed to. But an hour 20 is short. I'd like to see him go a little longer.
Yeah, and I think they might, going into it, again, there is part of me that looks at the team and says, just get them healthy for week one. But with a new head coach and a new quarterback, I see the need to do that. 215-592-9494. Call in. We'll talk about training camp. We'll answer any questions you have. I have all my signature training camp stats here ready to go. Catches, targets, completions, all those things, carries. So we can get into that. Let's move on to the second guy that I think is probably the most important person in training camp right now. Jalen Hurts. As you mentioned, we did a show together a few weeks ago, and we were both very much in the camp of Jalen's an accurate thrower. People are being way too harsh on him. And I don't know if you find this, but at training camp, you know, you walk around, you talk to different beat reporters. I won't say any names, but it seems in general, even some of the local beats like are so harsh on Jalen as opposed to, I mean, I thought he was really good yesterday. I thought he had a great day throwing the ball. He had 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. And a few of the beats I'm talking to afterwards, and they're like, he was okay. So 3 days in, what do you think of Jalen?
I think he's gotten better each day.
100% agree with you on that.
And I think you have to keep in mind, he's out there with receivers he hasn't played with, behind an offensive lineman he hasn't played with, running plays he's never played, in an offense he's never been in, with a coaching staff he's just getting to know, and he's a 22-year-old kid. He's not going to hit every pass. And, you know, I mean, I think considering everything, I thought the first day was a tough day for him.
Yep.
But he's gotten better, and I think there's a couple – I think he's holding onto the ball too long sometimes. You can see that, which is understandable. I think he's focusing in on Devontae a little much.
Which is understandable.
Kind of hard not to, and, you know, he's out there without Quez, without Rager.
Yeah.
He didn't have Ward one day. He didn't have Fulgham one day. So, it's been – who else is there to throw to? He seems to be wild high a little bit, but for the most part, I think he's throwing the ball to the right place. I've been impressed with the zip he has when he's throwing outs, because I think
he has a strong arm.
He has a strong arm, and I like his outs, and they're accurate. I'm okay with where he is. I mean, we're in day three of a first-year starter under a new coach. It's easy to just say that, you know, he's guys. got to hit every pass. It's not going to happen. I like where he is.
Yeah, I agree. I think one thing I've – one area
– He's fun to watch. I mean, he's just – it's just fun to watch him play football.
100%. He's very exciting. He's productive, too. He does get the ball in the end zone. One area I've noticed him struggling, and I think this is where he really needs to work, is you see at times he's in the pocket, the pressure comes, and he escapes the pressure, which he's able to do, and then he can't decide if he's going to run or throw, and I think that's when a lot of his poor throws have been. He's not resetting his feet. I think you want to see him become more decisive there. That'll come with time, obviously, and just more reps. I mean, you know, this is his first training camp as a starter, so that's one thing I want to see from him. But, all right, 215-592-9494. So, as I said, me and Rube did a show a few weeks ago, and unfortunately, this caller was not able to call in. But, Rube, you will find, and if I'm lucky enough to do more shows with you, one of the Go Birds, faithful, always calls in. Tom from Abington is where we start our show off with. Tom, what's going on, my man?
Yo, Rube. I'm a big fan. How we doing today?
I appreciate that, Tom. What's going on?
What up, Tom? Tom always tries to play me like that, Rube. Don't worry about it.
So, quick shout out to Kevin last shift, right?
Yeah, well, the most important shift, you know? This is where you want to end it. If you're going to end it, it's with Rube, it's with me, it's with Go Bird. So, we're going to miss him greatly. And with
Tom. He does a fantastic job.
He really does, yeah.
So, Elliot, at the end of this call, I will shock you, okay?
Can't wait.
That's called a teaser.
So, there it is.
All right, so, I would like to start off by saying 2017, they that year taught me that, yeah, of course you need talent. That, you know, that's the most important thing with the team. But I think right behind that in a close second would be culture and chemistry, right?
Yep, yeah.
So that was a prime example of it. So I guess my question is, what kind of a culture is this team setting down there at One NovaCare Way, like early on? And I get it. I know it's early. It's 1 week in. But I have just a list in my head of just things that concern me.
Yeah, so, well, let me answer your question. First of all, I like that you say it's early, but I'm a big proponent of, we all know it's early. We're doing this day by day. Let's just react to what we're seeing. So 3 days in, I think the culture they're building is one of, honestly, competitiveness. And I'm not just taking that from Sirianni. They are physical practices. Like, you can see that these guys really care about the drills. They're basically tackling each other. And not exactly, but you've seen guys get hit after the catch. So I do think they're building a competitive environment down there.
All right. Well, I hear you say that they're tough practices, but in my head on that list would be the fact that the third day the veterans had off.
Yeah, but like, again, I think they're doing that because the first 2 days were more physical. I mean, Doug would normally give them, what would you say, Rube? Day four,
yeah,
five?
Every third day off. I mean, that's been the case since Big Red was here, that the veterans get every third day off, every fourth day off. And you know why I don't have a problem with it? Those guys, I mean, what does Jason Kelce need to be out there for? This is about, let's see how many young guys we can get reps. Those are the guys that need the reps, and they got them yesterday.
All right, so why won't they name Hurts the starter? And Elliot, I know you've come around on this, but I don't get it.
Well, Rube, what do you think?
Well, it's all about competition. And obviously Hurts is the starter, and I mean, Nick even said the other day, I think on Wednesday, he's going to get all the first team reps.
So he has so far.
He's got every first team rep. So why does he need to say it? Who cares?
Why don't they say it?
But because why does he need to?
Is there any negative that comes out of saying it?
Why does he need to? There's no reason to.
Well, so here's why I come around.
Because it can get to Hurts.
No, but you got to understand this kid. I think the kid even likes it. The kid is so competitive. He's so hungry.
Okay,
he's so driven. He's so motivated. It doesn't matter to him. It's irrelevant to him. He just wants to work hard every day and get better every day.
So whenever I hear the Eagles talk about Hurts, a lot of callers, a lot of the hosts, I hear them talk about his intangibles, just like you just did, Rube. You know what I mean? Like, why aren't I hearing about his attributes on the field? Like, his throwing.
Yeah, we just talked about him.
Yeah, I do think the team sometimes does talk more attributes than it does physical skill. But, so, Rube, where I was very much in your camp all offseason on this. I don't think it bothers Jalen. I don't think it's a necessity to do it. The thing I think has changed is because so many people are speculating they're going to trade for Deshaun Watson, I do think now is the time to say, all right, you know what? He's our guy. Because, like you are, as you mentioned, he is getting all the first-team reps. He is the starter. And, look, no one thinks Joe Flacco is beating him out. No one inside of that building is saying, man, maybe Joe's the starter. But I do think there are probably players that are saying, you know what? Like, I watch the news. I follow Elliot on Twitter, as I'm sure they all do, and follow you. Like, you see the Deshaun Watson stuff. And I think that could matter to Jalen.
I don't think anything matters to Jalen.
Okay.
All right, and then Ertz. Like, they're totally mishandling that. All right, come on. He shows up with blonde hair, and I know it doesn't sound like a big deal, but that's like trying to draw attention to yourself, 100%. And that's not Zach Ertz. And then the shorts being inside out to cover up that. Look, come on, that's intentional.
Yeah, no, I agree. Look, prior to the day one of camp, I said keep Zach. He makes the team better. I'll be interested to see where you are with the Rube. But after 3 days, I'm like, look, he doesn't want to be here. You should just get him out of here.
Mm.
Well, I agree in general, but I also agree that you don't want to do it for a seventh-round pick.
Yeah, it's a tough spot.
So I would shut him down. I wouldn't have him out there risking an injury. Mm-hmm. I would shut him down, keep trying to shop him, and some tight end's going to get hurt somewhere, and somebody's going to need a veteran tight end who can catch you 40 passes, 45 passes, and maybe that sixth becomes a fifth or a fourth, and you make the deal. But I don't like seeing him out there.
Yes. All right, Tom,
I've also heard some people say Nick Mullins is looking like the better of the three quarterbacks.
Well, I don't think he's looked like the best one, but he's been very good. Tom, what's your I'm excited for the surprise that you have lined up for me.
All right. So, Carson Wentz is a weasel.
So Tom has been a big Carson guy for years. So what made you decide to jump ship to the correct side?
I never get political, Elliot. You know this, but he's an anti-vaxxer, and I can't get down with that. I'm a nurse. I'm a man of science.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense to me. Have a good day, fellas.
Right,
I'll keep listening.
Man, appreciate you calling in. Yeah.
Well, he's never said that.
He never said that.
He just said he didn't want to talk about it, and the fact that they're like at 50%, people are jumping to a conclusion. But we don't know that.
But Carson aside, and look, we're definitely going to get into him now that he's injured, and it looks like it's going to end up impacting the Eagles' pick. I do think, too, like, it is a positive for this team that Jalen Hurts said he's vaccinated. Like, wherever you fall on the side of this vaccine debate, and it's kind of crazy it's even a debate, but wherever you fall on it, like, it is a positive for the Eagles that their quarterback is vaccinated. He's going to likely miss less time because of it. All right, 215-592-9494. On the other side, we talked a lot about the offense, Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, and we're going to keep getting into that. I want to talk to you about the defense, too, though, because we got a chance to talk to Jonathan Gannon this week. I was very impressed, and I think through 3 days, you're seeing a lot of talent on that defensive side of the ball. So call in 215-592-9494. We'll be back on the other side. But before we take this quick break, you know, if you listen to Go Birds, we are big Parks guys. The Parks Sportsbook is the official sportsbook partner of the Real Sports Fan. Look, golf's in full swing. Football's going to be back soon. You can bet on all of it. Baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Live in-game play-by-play betting lets you bet while you watch. It's super exciting. I do it all the time. It's a super fun way to watch the game. And it's the only sportsbook app backed by the number one casino in Pennsylvania and the only one I recommend. You can bet the money line as it changes during the game on the Parks Sportsbook app and bet on individual player performances as they happen. Baseball, you can bet hits, home runs, pitcher strikeouts, every inning. Golf, you can bet on match winners. You can bet on leaders after rounds and more. Or you can always bet on spreads, parlays, which you know we love here on Go Birds, props, teasers, and over-unders. New customers, you can sign up right now and get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Just download the app or click parkscasino.com/PA. Use promo code GOBIRDS. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The website has all the details. This is Go Birds Radio. Elliot Shore Parks here. Ruben Frank. On the day of an Eagles practice, we're doubling up today, working hard. Now that training camp is back, right?
We're grinding.
What does Nick say? Nick Sirianni, you got to attack every part of your day. We'll attack this radio show.
Attack your rest.
Attack a nice sandwich maybe after this to get ready for
iced tea from Good Karma.
There's one thing I've learned on the beat, and I've been lucky to join the beat that has you on it. You love a good iced tea. There's one thing I know about Rube. You're a big iced tea guy. Do you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
Agree
it's
with
a
that?
Fair
yeah.
assessment.
I think so. I've seen you drink many a
find a nice Asamba Banaspati.
Okay, whatever that means. Is that a type of tea?
I guess it is.
Okay, all right. We got Eagles training camp practice today. We've been down there for 3 days. We're talking Nick Sirianni, the type of training camp that he's been running. I think it's been a really good one. It's been competitive. I like the drills they're doing. They've gotten a lot of teamwork in. And then he gives veterans a day off. That is one thing I think with Nick you've seen. He is willing to work with these veterans. I mean, he worked with the leadership council, if you remember, in the offseason to kind of negotiate to get them in.
And that was huge.
When they weren't going to come otherwise. He got like basically a month of work that he wouldn't have gotten otherwise. I thought that was a really good sign by him that he was willing to do that.
That was the first time I thought, all right, there's something here.
Yeah.
When he was able to talk those guys, Fletcher and BG and Lane and Kelsey, Brandon Brooks, whoever it was, that whole group, and convince them to come into practice?
When they weren't not going to.
They were not going to. And they had put out a statement through the PA saying they're not showing up. That was huge. As a first-year coach, a rookie coach, to negotiate that, that was his biggest accomplishment so far as a head coach. And that was I've said this before, but John Harbaugh told me once when he took over as head coach of the Ravens, he knew all he had to do was win over Ed Reed and Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
And if he could win over those two guys, like everyone else follows their lead. So if they didn't buy into him, nobody would. The young guys would. But if he could win those two guys over, then he had a chance to win over the team. And he said he spent his first couple months as a head coach just with those two guys, making sure they were going to follow him. And when they did, everyone else did. And they won a Super Bowl the next year. And you have to understand that those are the crucial guys to – you got to find a way to work with Fletcher. Because they've seen guys come and go. They've won a Super Bowl. They know the right way to do things. And you got to listen to them. You can't be so stubborn that it's my way or the highway. You got to listen, compromise, negotiate, and he's done that.
Yeah, and giving them day three off, right? I think that's another thing. And it's interesting how – and you mentioned it in the first segment, but a lot of people will say – you know, what's wrong with this medical staff? Why are they always getting hurt? Like, this team's always injured. But then on the flip side, they also want them to practice every single day at full speed, right? Like, you can't have it both ways. I mean, people are saying, what are they going to do differently to stay healthy? Maybe this is the beginning of that, right? Brandon Brooks goes down with what seems to be, at most, a minor, you know, hamstring injury. Knock on wood. Hopefully it's not that bad. And then the next day, you see Nick say, you know what, maybe I'll pull back the veterans a little bit. And I don't know if they're related, but the timing is you know, interesting. I think this team, another takeaway from the first few days is they do have good leadership on there. You've seen it at practices. You've seen it at the podium. I think even with the vaccination rate, right, the fact that they're, Howie said, at least 90% of the team has taken their first shot. So I think the leadership has been really good.
Yeah, no question. And that's and again, I know there's pushback from some people that don't believe in vaccines and don't believe in science, but there's a very tangible reason it makes sense for NFL players to get vaccinated, because there's two sets of rules that govern players during training camp, one for vaccinated players and one for those who aren't. They can't be in the meeting room within 6 feet of teammates. They can't eat in the cafeteria. They can't go in the hot tub. They can't lift weights with their teammates. Can't go in the sauna. They got to wear masks. They got to socially distance from their teammates and coaches. And none of those things apply to vaccinated players. So when you're talking about togetherness, when you're talking about building a culture, a 90% rate is huge for Nick Sirianni, because that means his team, you do the math, I think Howie said over 90%.
Yes, taken their first shot. So
have taken their first shot. So you're talking about eight or fewer guys who haven't.
Yeah.
So as a team, you can be together. You can pretty much essentially, and we can tell, I mean, we see guys eating outside and guys who come to press conferences with masks, you know, you can kind of tell who's not vaccinated.
Well, you look at Washington in the division. Yeah. Washington, I think they've said they're around 50%.
Yeah.
I mean, that look, there could be real tangible benefits, like competitiveness-wise, for the Eagles going into that. So before we go back to some callers, 215-592-9494, hop in, ask us any questions you have about players
Mike Clay.
That you have seen. Oh, the special teams coach looks like he's calling in. By the way, quick side note, Michael Clay. I think he's going to be a good special teams coach.
Yeah.
I like that he's young and motivated. You can tell this guy's super excited to have his job. I think he's going to do good at it. One piece of advice I would give him, not about special teams, but about just press conferences. He had a quote yesterday where he says he was asked about Jake Elliott, who didn't have a great year last year. You know, missed some big kicks for them. He was asked, what are you going to do to help him? And his answer was essentially, look, I'm not going to tell Tiger Woods how to putt. I'm not going to mess with his mechanics. And I get that. But maybe just don't say at the podium you're not going to help the kicker when you're the special teams coach.
Yeah, and I understand that kicking and special teams are two different things, and they do have a kicking coach.
Big part of it, though.
Yeah, but you don't say that.
Yeah, agreed.
I think
it was a great quote. But the defensive side of the ball, we talked about Sirianni, we talked about Hurts. I think this defense, and it's early, obviously, it's hard to tell, but there is actual talent on this defense. Like, I think there's more talent on the defensive side of the ball than there is on the offensive side. I think the cornerbacks, you look at Slay and Nelson out there, feels like a major upgrade over what they had last year now that they have Nelson. Anthony Harris, to me, just physically way bigger than I thought. He looks like a great athlete out there. And Rodney's not practicing yet, but I don't know if you've noticed this. Off to the side, he's working out. And he's not just, like, walking around. He's running. I think I've seen him do some change of direction stuff, so he looks pretty healthy. What's been your kind of takeaways or any thoughts you've had on the defense so far?
Well, yeah, I think the D-line is such a strength. And, you know, I love the depth they have. I mean, They go four deep, you know, inside, four deep outside. And that's going to make the whole group better. That's going to make the secondary better.
Third in the league in sacks last year. I don't think enough people bring that up.
Yeah, no, they.
It's impressive.
Their D line, and then you add Kerrigan, you add Milton Williams. So I think potentially they could be the if Fletcher and BG don't have any kind of drop off, and they're both in their 30s. So is Kerrigan. It's an older group, but potentially one of the best. You know, maybe the best D line in the league, and that's going to make the secondary better. It's going to make the linebackers better. A lot of new pieces in the secondary and moving parts.
Yeah.
You know, two guys that I really would like to see. Take advantage. They're both getting reps, Kayvon and Davion Taylor, second-year guys. That's the kind of guy they need those because they don't have any young defensive stars.
No.
And they haven't since Fletcher was a kid.
Yeah.
So they need those kind of guys to blossom in year two. And I think they're both off to good starts. They look athletic and active. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm not sold on the defense yet. I think the defensive line, they're going to go as far as the defensive line takes them, but they're going to need to create turnovers, which they haven't done since the Super Bowl season. They're going to have to get takeaways. They haven't done that. So, and it's a new coordinator who seems to know what he's doing, but I don't know. They have a lot of questions to answer.
One thing I like, and part of it's because of injuries, just, you know, honestly, Rodney's not there. Alex Singleton, I believe, is still on the COVID list. They've not everybody out there. But one difference between this coaching staff and last year's coaching staff, especially on the defensive side of the ball, is it seems like younger guys are getting more of an opportunity, right? Kayvon is already out there with the starters. Taylor, who was basically non-existent all of last year, is getting first-team reps. Josh Sweat is starting, or at least with the first-team defense, over Derek Barnett. Now, I don't know if that's just Howie saying to the staff, like, look, you're playing these guys I drafted. That could be it. But I think what it really is this coaching staff seems more willing to put young guys out there and see how they do, as opposed to the older staff last year, who was a veteran staff, right? Doug was his fifth year. He's an older guy. Jim Schwartz has been coaching for 20-plus years. They seem to lean more towards putting veterans out there as opposed to rolling with younger guys.
Yeah, and it's understandable. They want a Super Bowl with a veteran defense and, you know, the Corey Grant. I mean, Jim Schwartz really liked – and a lot of coaches are like – he really liked – those older veteran guys who maybe physically weren't as good as the younger guys but knew exactly where to be. They didn't make mental mistakes. He would have taken 11 guys like that. But eventually you got to work in the younger guys or you're just not going to have a future. So I like seeing these young guys, and they you know, these guys have to take a big next step in year two, year three.
Well, especially where this team's at, this is a good year to maybe try to get those young guys some reps. All right, let's go back to the phones. We got another Go Birds legend, dare I say. Tom from Vancouver. Tom, what's going on, man? You're on Go Birds Radio.
Oh, my gosh. To be called a legend, maybe on Go Birds.
Yeah, well, you've earned it, Tom. You've earned it, man. I appreciate you calling in. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Thank you so much. So, little quick point. I agree with Tom from Abington about Carson. Didn't he wear a mask when he was talking about this?
He did have a mask, and he did not say whether he was vaccinated or not, but you know, you can draw from that what you will.
There's circumstantial evidence.
Yeah.
So the shorter, more intense practices, I'm wondering if that has to do with more competitive culture and managing injuries and getting them used to playing speed. I know from being an amateur athlete myself that if I'm in an environment where it does have that competitive intensity, my game is completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, it could be. I mean, Jalen Hurts, I think, too. Rube's talked about his, you know, Jalen's personality and kind of intangibles. I think he brings that too, right? He's a competitive guy, and leadership matters, and who your quarterback is matters. And I wonder if maybe Jalen's personality is rubbing off on this roster a little bit.
Okay, so I've got three very quick questions. I want to leave you guys to be the ones to speak about it, of course.
Yep.
So have you the first one is? Do you want me to tell them all to you, and then you can decide which one?
No, knock them out one at a time, and we'll hit them.
Okay. Have you had the opportunity to see how good Jalen's reads were? Because I haven't heard much talk about that.
Well, I'll take this one. Look, day one, I thought he made some poor decisions. And like I said, I think where he struggled in decision making is whether to take off or to pull it back and throw. But I will say, too, at these practices, we don't get to watch replays of the plays. We're ground level with them. It is a little hard to see if he's making the right reads, but he hasn't put the ball in danger's way very much, I don't think.
Okay. Howie question. So Michael Clay, whom you just mentioned, he was asked about Devontae Smith on returns, and he said It was a conversation between him, Nick, and Howie. Later, I heard him mention personnel. Is this looking for trouble on my part, or is there any question mark there around involving personnel in a decision like that?
Well, Howie's the GM. I mean, he's going to have a voice in pretty much everything. I mean, that's his job. So I don't think that's a red flag or anything, if that's what you're asking. I mean, that's every team.
And look, I hope Howie steps in and says, don't put Smith back there. They don't want their number one receiver returning punts. All right, don't do that.
Agreed. Okay, so the last one that I'll leave you with, because I think both of you will have an opinion on this, and that's in terms of the most surprising player. And this is I listened to your podcast where you were doing like the grade up, grade down, and so this is a little bit different. I'm thinking more about, who is the most like disappointing or exciting? So something that's got a little bit more emotional based on your personal expectations. And thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, no problem, Tom. Thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it. You want to go first? I know who comes to mind for me, but
so what's he asking? Most disappointing?
Just most exciting guy you've seen, and I guess most disappointing.
I mean, most disappointing, I would say Jalen Reagor, just because.
Yeah, not was not practicing.
He reported out of shape. He looks awful.
Oh, you think so? I've barely seen him. I mean, I see him at the beginning of camp just hanging out. He's done some individual drills a little bit.
Yeah, he's done some individual drills. He doesn't look like he's to my untrained eye, he doesn't look like he's close to going out there and being a playmaker. And they
it's
need
disappointing because he needs these reps.
He needs these reps. I mean, this is a big year for him.
Yeah.
And I thought, I think Fulgham, I mean, he's only practiced 2 days, but I think he's looked pretty good, more consistent than last year. But, again, it's very early. But as far as the other side of the coin, you know who's I thought has looked really good is Jordan Howard.
Yes, I agree
really
with that.
Surprised
he's
me.
He looked quick.
He looks quick. He looks lean and fast and strong, and he's a different kind of runner than all their other backs.
Yeah,
and I kind of thought he was just an afterthought. Let's just bring him in here, do him a favor. But you know, he's kind of the inside runner on a team of kind of faster outside runners, receivers, but he's a inside runner, blocker, not a great receiver. He did have a catch yesterday.
He did, yeah. And look, I thought Kerryon Johnson was going to be there, like in the between the tackle guys. He's skinnier than I pictured him. Kerryon, he's not as big physically. I mean, like Elijah Holyfield's probably their biggest running back, but I agree Jordan Howard's filled that role so far. He has been getting first team reps. I don't think Kerryon Johnson's gotten a single carry with the first team. To me, the guy that stands out, first name when he asked this, I think Tyree Jackson, the tight end, has had a great start to camp.
He looks great, doesn't he?
Well, first of all, physically, he's probably the best athlete on the team. Like, I mean, outside of speed and stuff, like he's 6'1", 6'2". He looks like he's all solid muscle, long arms. He looks quick out there. He's caught almost everything thrown his way. And he's a former quarterback, which we know this team loves, right? They love putting former quarterbacks into new positions. He's learning the tight end position. But to me, like my hot take, I guess, off of three.
Did you say 6'1 or 6'2?
I think he is, right? He's probably way bigger than that, actually.
Tyree Jackson?
Yeah.
He's like 6'10.
Okay, yeah. Well, maybe he just feels like, you know, he's
like
I'm
6'7.
Not close to 6 feet. Yeah. Well, he's a big dude. Agreed. But my take after 3 days, they can't cut this guy. Like, this is the guy you keep in the building to develop. This is exactly the type of young elite, like athlete. I'm not going to say prospect or anything, but he's an elite athlete that you take to develop. I don't want to risk putting him through waivers at the end of it. I mean, you know, we have a long way to go.
He's not getting claimed. They're going to cut him. They're going to put him on the practice squad and develop him. Nobody's going to claim him.
Well, look, Noah Tungiai last year, who didn't turn into much yet, you know, they cut him and he got claimed. So I wouldn't risk it, right? Like, we'll see who the bottom of the roster guys are, but I'd rather make sure I have him and cut a veteran, you know, older guy, and then see if you get him back as opposed to losing him. But all right, 215-592-9494. On the other side, I want to get back to talking about the offensive side of the ball. I can't believe we're, you know, almost 45 minutes in this show. We haven't talked about Devontae Smith. I want to talk to you about what I've seen from him, and I really want to get your opinion on how you think he's looked so far. So hop on 215-592-9494. This is Go Birds Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Go Birds Radio. I am Elliot Shore Parks here with my man Ruben Frank talking to you
guys. Somebody's making chicken soup or something.
Yeah, it smells good. It does smell good. I got to get something before we head out to practice at 5:30. I mean, I got to be, you know, I got to be feeling good, be full. I got to practice. I got to tack practice. So I got to make sure I'm get a little something to eat before practice tonight. Day 4 of Eagles training camp. First 3 days have, I think, been pretty newsworthy, right? You said at the top of the show, I agree. A lot already happening with this team. They never, it's never boring with the Eagles.
Oh, that's for sure. I think it's been, it's been positive so far.
Yeah. So I want to talk to you about DeVonta Smith. Obviously, we talked Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, but I would say probably the player people are most excited to hear about is DeVonta Smith. I certainly have had a good first impression of him. You can really tell why he was so successful in college. I mean, you know, and I hate to compare him to Jalen Reagor, but if you just like look at the other young receivers they've had in here, he already looks so much more advanced, I think, than they have. He's so good off the line of scrimmage. So much talk about his weight and how much he weighs. I don't think he looks small out there at all. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. He's skinny, but he doesn't look. He doesn't look undersized.
Right. Like when I saw Donnell Pumphrey for the first time, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, let's not even not even have him in the conversation.
Yeah, but to me, DeVonta does not look small. And look, he's been good. I mean, he had the long touchdown where he beat Steven Nelson. Now it was a 7-on-7, so there was no pocket, but he won at the line of scrimmage, got down the field. The ball from Jalen Hurts must have been in the air like 40, 45 yards. It was a great throw. He's been able to beat them deep. I don't think his speed is talked about enough. Like, he has great hands and he's a very technical player, but he's really quick as well. What have your overall thoughts of him been so far?
Yeah, like you said, I think I've been impressed. And again, he's getting good work with Slay. It's really fun to watch the two of them. And he's not going to win that every time, but that's a good thing. It's great work, and I love seeing the two of them talk. Slay will pull him aside after every rep and has a little, you know, some advice. And Slay said he's helping him.
Yeah.
And he said he's helping him as well. So you think about it, like, Carson never had a young star receiver.
He had Jordan Matthews.
Had Jordan Matthews. Yeah. Like I said, Carson never had.
Okay, all right.
But in all seriousness,
no, you're right. Yeah.
And you know, and Jordan was in his third year. Jordan had one good year with Carson, but he was never. I mean, I like Jordan. He's a good player, and I'm happy to see him get it. He just signed with the 49ers yesterday. Yeah. Elliot wanted to do the entire show on Jordan.
Yeah, well, it seems appropriate. Look, him changing positions. I don't want to say he's a hero, but you know, it's impressive.
But you know, you look back. Donovan never had. I mean, by the time they drafted Deshaun, Donovan was in his 10th year.
Yep.
So Donovan never really had a young star receiver to grow with. Randall, you know, by the time Randall got here, Quick was like in his 7th year, and he had injury issues. I just think it's so important for a young quarterback to have that young receiver to grow with, and have, you know, just kind of by year 3 they're just like taking over the league. And Jalen has that, and you could just see. And I know they played a little bit together in college, but it wasn't that much. But you can see that there's something special there with the two of them.
Well, he likes to look for him, as you mentioned.
Yes,
right?
He does.
I think he has so far. He has DeVonta Smith has 10 targets. He's caught 7 of them. He has 3 touchdowns. What stood out to me is how they're using him. Like, again, because of his size, you think, well, they might be a little hesitant to use him in certain ways. He had a running play yesterday. They ran some wide receiver screens for him. He's gotten a ton of targets in the red zone. Like I said, day one, they did a lot of red zone work, starters versus starters, and he had 5 targets. At one point, Jalen threw it to him 3 straight times, right? So they are not afraid to throw him the ball. I think he's going to get a lot of targets this year. Let's go back to the phone lines, 215-592-9494. Hop on, ask us if there's any players you want to know about, anything. We can be your eyes and let you know what's been happening out there. But let's go to the phone boards. We got William in South Philly. William, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, Alec? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How you doing, man? Thanks for calling in.
Good, man. Yeah, I'm actually a listener of Go Birds and Eagle Eye, so
wow,
I'm a big fan of both of you.
Which one do you like better, William?
I'm not going to lie to you, Rube. I'm a Go Birds faithful.
There you go.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, but you know, when there's no new Go Birds pod, you know where I'm going to right away. So
right. Really appreciate that.
So I actually have a couple of things. I agree with Elliot on we need a veteran receiver, and I would you be monitoring the DeVonta Adams situation closely if you're like Howie?
Well, yeah. I don't think they're going to trade DeVonta Adams. I think now that Rodgers is back, there's almost no shot at all they move him this year. But I do think veteran receiver is a huge need for this team because outside of Devontae Smith, who is higher, me and you, Rube, are both high on him, like he's never even played an NFL game. And you look at the guys lining up next to him in practice, I think their starters probably have a combined, like, 30 catches in the NFL now that Greg Ward's not out there. So I think a veteran receiver is clearly a need. I think shooting for Devontae Adams, I like where you're at, you know, shooting for the moon there, but I think that's probably a little unrealistic.
I want a veteran receiver because I like this group of young guys. With all due respect, William, I hear what you're saying, but I want to see Quez Watkins. I want to see John Hightower. I want to see Travis Fulgham. Yeah. I like these young guys, and I'd like to see them because they don't have enough money to get a really good veteran receiver. I don't want anybody to block the young guys from playing. This year isn't about having a veteran who could come in and catch 50 for 700. It's about all the young guys getting as much work as possible with an impressive young quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I don't know if you heard Aaron Rodgers' press conference where he was basically like just absolutely destroying Green Bay's front office.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't seem to be a fan of the front office there over in Green
Bay. You know, maybe if you're Devontae Adams, you think, like, I have 1 year left of Aaron Rodgers. Maybe I should get out of here while I can. And, I think I would give 2 first-round picks for him. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the 2019 Jalen Ramsey situation. And
2 first-round picks.
2's a lot. I would definitely give up 1 for him. I mean, look, he's the best receiver in the league.
I mean, if you think about it, 2 was a lot for the Rams at the time, but now they have a young lockdown cornerback, and I mean, you could go the other way. You have a young, like, elite stud wide receiver for years to come.
Yeah, look, and thanks for the call, William. Super appreciate it. I agree with mostly of what you're saying there in terms of playing the young guys. I do think getting Quez a lot of snaps makes sense. Rager, obviously, you know, he's going to have to play once he's ready. But my thing is just watching them out there. Like, Quez isn't practicing yet. Rager's not been out there. So I don't want to take snaps from young guys, but I also need to have somebody out there that I know at least has a higher floor than some of these young guys do. Like, Fulgham played well last year, but who knows what he can be. Rager was not that great last year. Quez is only potential. So if I'm Howie and I'm Jeffrey, and Howie said this week when asked about evaluating Jalen Hurts that, like, you have to start with the players around him. Does he have a good offensive line? And part of that, of seeing if Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts are good, is giving them at least some competent talent at receiver to work with. So I like the young guys. I think it's maybe a risk worth taking, but that could backfire, and you could find yourself in week 3 with, like, no competent receivers besides Devontae Smith.
Well, I think that, I mean, with Rager, they've made a commitment to him, so they have to, at least this year.
He's gonna have to play, yeah.
He has to play, and I'm high enough on Fulgham, I think, with better play calling and coaching and just – I mean, last year it's
just being allowed out on the field.
Yeah, I think he's going to be pretty – I think he's – I mean, look, it's 2 days without pads. He's looked fine. I saw enough in those 5 games where he – there's something there.
Yeah.
And I like Quez. I think Quez is going to have a chance to be a player. We know what Greg Ward can do. I don't want to block these guys.
And I see that. I really do. And to your point, they don't have a ton of money at this point. And maybe it's not worth going out and spending $2 million on a guy that might not even be that good. You look at the available players. Kenny Stills has had success, but he's not been good recently. The Golden Tate, we all saw how he worked out in Philly. So there's not a ton of great.
Fourth down in Chicago.
Yeah, huge catch. Nick Foles left the field with the lead that time too, right?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. All right, on the other side, I want to get into, as we always do, it seems to, the former quarterback. Big news in Indianapolis out of what's going on with Carson Wentz. There was an update, and we'll see how this goes with the Eagles. So, Go Birds Radio, this is Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hey, the Parks Sportsbook is the official. The Parks Sportsbook is the official sportsbook partner of the Real Sports Fan. Golf is in full swing. Bet on it all. Baseball, golf, MMA, and lots more. Live in-game play-by-play betting lets you bet while you watch. The only sportsbook app backed by the #1 casino in Pennsylvania and the only one I recommend. Bet the money line as it changes during the game on the Parks Sportsbook app and bet on individual player performances as they happen. Baseball, bet hits, homers, pitcher strikeouts, every inning. Golf, bet on match winners, bet on leaders after various rounds, and lots more. You can always bet on spreads, parlays, props, teasers, and over-unders. New customers, sign up right now and get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Just download the app or click parkscasino.com/PA And now use this promo code. Write this down. Go Birds. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The website has all the details.
Sports Radio, 94 WIP, Go Birds Radio. Today as we, Elliott Shore Park's here with Ruben Frank. Got Eagles practice tonight, had Eagles practice yesterday. Fourth straight day of practice. And look, I think it's going to be a long time until we're not talking about this guy, but today certainly newsworthy. The Eagles' old quarterback, Carson Wentz, making some news already. Looks like he suffered a foot injury in practice. I guess it happened Thursday. It would have happened at the end of practice. Felt something in his foot at the end of the practice. Missed the last drill. Came in the next day. And now it looks like he could be out for quite a while. They're having him look at foot specialists. And clearly this is very newsworthy for the Eagles.
Yeah. Now, the good news is it's not considered season ending.
The fact they're even talking about it, like
I can't. I mean, I think it was their it was their fourth day. I think they started a couple days earlier than the Eagles. But can they still, you know, hit the 75%?
Yeah.
If he misses four games, I mean, we still have five, 6 weeks before the season. So even if he misses 10 weeks, he could still, in theory, play 13 games, play more than three quarters of the season if he doesn't get hurt again, mm-hmm. and knock out that 75%. But you just wonder, some players just can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
And he sure looks like one of them. I mean, in 17, it was the knee. In 18, it was the back. In 19, it was the concussion. Last year, he stayed healthy and got benched.
Well, and then in college, too.
In college, too. And now he's got a serious foot injury. Mike Silver reported that Carson heard something pop.
Yes.
Which is never good.
Nope.
Never good to hear something pop. And you just wonder if he's ever going to be able to stay healthy. And, you know, I mean, I was in favor of them moving on from him. I think you were as well. But I don't wish ill. I don't wish anybody to get hurt.
You don't want to see him hurt.
I don't wish anyone to get hurt. It's not like I'm happy. I was
excited to see him play in Indianapolis.
I was too.
How he would play. I didn't think he was going to be very good, but I was at least excited to see how he was going to do.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. He was always good to me. I like him personally. He's a nice guy, but I can't say I'm surprised because he's just always gets hurt.
And yeah.
If he does come back, then what? You just ask yourself, what's next? I mean, it's been a back, a knee, a foot. And he's not a young kid anymore. Was he 28 now?
I think he'll be 30 at the end of this year, actually. I think, or at least at the end of the year. I could be wrong. I know he's closer to it. He came out late from North Dakota. It wasn't like out of high school, he wasn't even a prospect. So he was definitely in college for quite a bit. But my takeaway from this, and obviously you referenced it, and for the Eagles, it has clear implications. If he doesn't play, I think it's 70% of the snaps or 75% and they make the playoffs, something like that. Then the second round pick, it doesn't turn into a first round pick, and then the Eagles next year would have two first round picks and 2 seconds as opposed to 3 ones and a second. So there is draft implications for this. I'd also say that if you're someone out there who doesn't want them to trade for Deshaun Watson, this is good news because now the Eagles don't have as much draft capital to trade for Deshaun Watson. So that pick, the Colts pick, if they were offering that up for Deshaun, doesn't look as attractive as it did a week ago. So that's certainly part of it, but I think the bigger takeaway fans should have here is not about the draft pick, because ultimately, yes, you'd rather have a first than a second, but this is the clear takeaway is trading him was the right move. Like, forget the draft capital. The Eagles, like, Carson did two great things for this organization. He helped them win the Super Bowl in 2017, and he asked out. Like, those are the two things that he did to help the Eagles, because the fact that they were able to move on from him, as you mentioned, he is injury prone. This is going to happen, right? I mean, reading these tweets yesterday and seeing how the Colts writers are covering it, it was like deja vu for me, right? Like, he does get hurt a lot. And you said it, and you said it perfectly. Like, we don't wish ill will. You don't want to see these guys get hurt. But it's just a reality of it. Like, you have to be able to rely on your quarterback to be out there every week. It's really hard to win if you're constantly going to your backup. The Eagles, well, I guess they have not found it because they've been better with the backup. But regardless, the point is, the Eagles are better off with Carson not here, flat out. Like, flat out, they are better with Jalen Hurts than they are with Carson Wentz.
When this whole thing started and it looked like he didn't want to be back, I thought the Eagles would be best served by trying to work with him, trying to bring him back, trying to make him happy. I mean, they gave him all this money. You know, they have this dead money that's just killing their cap because of it. It just made sense to me to try to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him play at a high level. I've seen him, you know, I mean, even in 18 and 19, he had stretches where he was really, really good. And I thought last year, everybody on the offense was bad. You know, it was just, it was a train wreck. Doug was a train wreck. O-line, injuries, yeah. Carson, the running game, turnovers, the receiver, everything. So I really believe that they could kind of I really believe they could make it work. But with each passing week, and Carson got more and more, you know, adamant about not wanting to be here, then you're like, why should they work that hard to
yeah.
keep a guy who doesn't want to be here for reasons I still don't understand? Like, what crime did they commit against Carson Wentz? I never got
well,
it.
Well, the silliest part is, not to interject, but they gave him a contract that, let's be honest, he didn't really, like, super deserve at that point, right? I mean, he was not worthy of being a top five paid quarterback, let alone the most, you know, the highest paid quarterback in the league. So the Eagles did a lot for Carson. They gave him that deal. They went up and took him at number two. And if the reason he wants out is because they missed on draft picks trying to help him and they took Jalen Hurts, to me, look, if a player takes his career into his own hands, I'm not going to fault that. You only get so many years. If you think he's better off in Indianapolis, you know what? More power to him. But the Eagles are better off without him here.
Yeah, the last thing you need as a team is a guy that doesn't want to be here. I think right now, other than Hurts, I mean, everybody wants to be here. And it's a good place to be. I think it's pretty clear now. If it wasn't in December and January, it's pretty clear they did the right thing. As disappointing as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think the Eagles win more games than the Colts this year.
Yeah, I find it hard to disagree with that. Because, again, if he does play, I don't even know who their backup is.
Someone named Eason? Jason Eason?
Tony Eason making a comeback. I don't. Yeah, I mean, I think they have some talent. They
they
do
got a
have
tough
some
schedule too.
They do have some good players. They do have a tougher schedule than the Eagles. It'll be interesting to follow that. As an Eagles fan, you just have to hope he's back soon enough to get those snaps. But he's really bad, so that first round pick becomes a
yeah.
better pick.
Well,
and there's a chance of that. That could be a pretty good pick.
It could be. I mean, it's going to be picking before the Eagles, in my opinion. But
because they could be 0-4. Like, say he comes back week 5.
Mm-hmm.
That's the perfect scenario for Eagles fans, because then you have a chance to get to 75%. But also, they could be 0-4 at
yep.
that point with Tony Eason's kid brother, whoever is starting for them. You know, Paul Justin, I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
So if they're 0-4, that first-round pick now, if it is a first-round pick, it's getting better and better. So
I can hear it already. He's going to miss training camp, and then he's going to come back in week 4 or 5. He's not going to play that well. And it's going to be, well, you know, he did miss training camp. You know, that was a big deal. And then next season they'll open it, and it'll be, look, he's going to have a full camp this year. I just don't think you can win consistently with Carson as your quarterback. We'll see if you can with Jalen or not. Who knows? But I would bet, moving forward, who's going to have more wins as a starting quarterback? I would take Jalen over Carson. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to our man, another Go Birds legend here, Dave in New Mexico. Dave, what's going on, man?
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Hey, what Dave.
Up? What up?
What's happening? It's football season, and it's time to hit somebody, and Dallas sucks.
Okay. There it is.
Two things I want to know. Well, two players I actually want to know your opinion about. One is the middle linebacker. Is it Davison?
There's Davion Taylor. There's Eric.
Davion
Wilson.
Taylor.
Okay, Davion.
Yeah, Davion Taylor. And I'm glad to hear that Josh Sweat is actually starting on that
yeah.
defensive line.
I mean, they're going to rotate. We'll see what happens, but yeah.
Yeah, but I think Josh Sweat has a huge, huge upside. And you're right, Elliot, what you said about the coaching staff favoring the older players and not giving the young guys a look. And that's the reason why we have so many questions about them, is because they had potential. They flashed it and weren't allowed to grow. Mm. So you never know what you have. So now you got question marks coming with these guys, but they're hungry. And I think that with the new approach, they're playing with house money. I mean, they can play loose. There's not a whole lot of pressure on these guys. The division is horrible. So they can go in and basically just let it rip. And yeah. I think if they do that, and Jalen Hurts is the man that I think he is, this is going to be a pretty good season. I got a good feeling about this, and we're going to win the division. I can see that right now, because Dallas is horrible. Washington isn't scaring anybody. And I think the signing of Ryan Kerrigan for that defense, is underrated, but I think it's going to be really, really important, especially if he plays the same role that Long played when they won the Super Bowl. So
yeah.
I'll sit back and let you guys listen, you guys be safe and blessed.
All right, appreciate it, Dave. Thanks for calling in. Davion Taylor, what have you thought of him so far?
Pretty athletic, pretty active.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like what I've seen from him. Again, it's you got to clarify everything with, you know,
it's 3 days.
It's three days, and they're not in pads yet, but he's a guy I would have liked to have seen more of last year. I guess they thought he wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
I like what I've seen. He seems to be active. He's around the ball.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing him when, when things get real.
What stood out to me, and you're exactly right, after three practices, I also think, and I'll be interested for your opinion on this, having covered, a lot of training camps. I think there's certain positions that are harder to grade when you're watching than others. I think linebacker is one of the more tougher positions to get a read on. There's no pads. It's just a tough one to watch live when you're down there. So, but what stood out to me about Davion Taylor is that when they were in 7-on-7s and they were first-team defense, he was out there. I think they are going to try to use him this year as more of a coverage linebacker. He is a bit undersized, I believe. He's not like Sean Bradley, the Temple product's a bit bigger. I think you're going to see him in there more against the run. T.J. Edwards will be in there against the run. But as we know, because Eagles have two of them right now, a lot of tight ends in this league, like, you need athletic linebackers. And I think Davion, they view him and they're trying to get him into those situations by putting him into 7-on-7s where you're only covering. There's not going to be any running plays. Getting him those reps as a coverage linebacker.
Yeah, and he's got the speed and athleticism to do it. So those are matchups you really – those are really valuable reps for him.
Yeah.
So he already looks better than he did last year. But
agreed.
I wish he played more last year, but it would have helped him now. But – he's certainly an intriguing guy, and like I said earlier, their best defensive players are, you look at BG and Fletcher and Slay, Kerrigan. I mean, these are all guys in their 30s. They need guys like Davion Taylor and Kayvon Wallace, Josh Sweat, to be forces in this league, to be better than average players, just kind of guys rolling through, and then they get more guys rolling. They need them to be to really shine and. A few of these guys. So he's one who's got a chance.
Did you look up Carson's age, by the way?
He's 28.
He's 28 now. Okay, so he'll be 29 at the end of the year.
December 30. Same birthday as my mom.
There you go. Important day in the Rubin household, Frank.
And she's got three fewer career postseason passing yards.
I'd rather have her as my quarterback. I can tell you that right now. Quick quarterback question, actually. I think it's one of the biggest questions around the team. Deshaun Watson. Where are you at with it? Would you trade for him? Would you stick with Jalen? What's your thoughts?
Well, I wouldn't do anything until first of all, I wouldn't do anything until all the legal stuff is. I'm there's just too many questions right now to even think about it. For me, Jalen Hurts is my quarterback this year.
Yep,
and I want to see as much of him as possible. I want to see a full season, and after that, see who's available. If you need to, go give him a long term deal if you need to do that. I want to see him play. I don't want to give away three first-round picks when I have a quarterback who might be pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. I think giving Jalen a chance this year, there's going to be other quarterbacks available. Deshaun Watson is very talented, but I'm not trading almost anything, honestly, for a guy that has so many question marks. And it's not just off-the-field stuff, which is certainly a huge part of this, but he is on a max deal. He has torn his ACL twice. I just think there's so many risks there with trading for Deshaun Watson. So I think we're in the same camp there. 215-5.
Well, from a football standpoint, the guy's
– he's good. I agree.
No, he's better than good.
He's he's very good. Like, he's definitely a talented quarterback. But, look, like, talent doesn't always win out. I think we saw that with Carson. Carson was talented in 2017. Then he got injured. Then there was the Foles fiasco, for him at least. Obviously, for the city, it was a great thing. And you can't compare situations to situations, but, like, ultimately, being the most talented player does not guarantee you success in the NFL. So many other things factor into that. Like, is Deshaun Watson more talented than Jalen Hurts? Probably, yeah.
No, like, definitely.
I think Jalen is very good. But regardless, yes, at this point, Deshaun Watson, you would have to say, is more talented. But Jalen doesn't have any off-the-field question marks. Jalen's not on a max deal. Jalen has no injury history.
Yeah, but you said just football-wise.
But my point is, though, like, those things matter.
Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts, and I like Jalen Hurts.
I'm not disputing you on that, but my point is, in terms of having success moving forward, there is a lot going against Deshaun Watson despite his talent.
Well,
and there are not those things going against Jalen.
And that's true, and I would rather have Jalen Hurts in three first-round picks than Deshaun Watson.
Right, so that's what I'm saying.
Because you could do so much with those picks.
Right, if Jalen can just be a top 15 guy, and then you have – look, and it looks like it might not be three first-round picks, but regardless, you have four picks in the first two rounds next year. You could this team's fortune could change like that. If Jalen is just like a top 15, top 20 guy this year, he shows signs of improvement, and then next year you keep the picks and you keep him, like this team's going to have a lot of young talent on it, which is something they don't have right now. Let's go back to the boards. We're going to go to Clay in Kansas City. Clay, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys, what's up?
How's it going, man?
Hey, you're the reason I stay on Twitter, Rube. You're the best follow out.
I appreciate that, Clay.
Surprised you didn't block him.
I blocked you.
No. So, hey, one real quick thing. Hey, nobody's talking about that last game of the season now, are they? I knew that would go away eventually.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. But, that whole thing was completely ridiculous.
Hey, one real quick thing before I get onto the birds. And I don't mean to be a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, would they think about just holding Carson out to get to where the talk is not during the season about this percentage of plays? I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but
maybe,
you know, that's going to be a lot of the talk.
Would the Colts not play him?
I think what he's saying is, let's say Carson misses 3 weeks.
I know that sounds crazy.
Oh, hold him out until there's no chance. Not because they think they have a chance to win a lot of games this year. They think they have a chance to be a Super Bowl team.
I think it's kind of crazy, but crazier things have happened in NFL.
Yeah, Clay, I'm actually a little more on your side with this. If you let's say he's healthy and ready to go week four, but you know if he plays week five, your quarterback's playing well, and you put him in week five, and then you never have to think about the snap percentage again, I don't know.
I think they'd like to get on the other side of that issue. So
I mean, if they're 0-4, if they're 0-4 and he's still, you know, I could see holding him out a couple more weeks.
Well, let's be real here, guys. We all know whoever that backup is going to play phenomenally when Carson's not on the field.
It's going to be Foles. Like, you know they're going to go get Foles. And they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Probably. I wish someone in that organization would be brave enough to say Foles is the obvious answer here. He's played for Frank Reich. He's a third stringer in Chicago. It's the obvious answer for him.
Get him cheap.
Yeah.
So pivoting to the Eagles, though,
Carson might leave the country.
Yeah, he'd have to retire if that happened.
The one thing I really like about Devontae Smith that doesn't get mentioned is look at who he went up against day in and day out in practice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the thing about Alabama and SEC players like LSU kids and stuff that people never talk about is Devontae Smith was facing an NFL cornerback in practice almost every day. I mean, and that's iron sharpens iron, you know. I'm with you totally, Rube, on the young receivers. This is almost like a mulligan year. I mean, unless Nick just totally looks like he's overmatched. I mean, you know, let's see what we have. Let's see what we have in Jalen Hurts. I don't want to trade for Deshaun Watson. If Jalen Hurts is a top 15 quarterback, this team could get really good really fast. I mean, that's what and one last thing, and then I'll listen off the air. I think I read about a month ago that the injuries this team had on the offensive line last year, I mean, like, it was like the most in documented NFL history. I mean, I feel bad a little bit for Carson because who could have possibly won behind what went on last year? I mean, you know, we were playing four stringers on the offensive line, you know? And I think this year, the whole key to this team is, does the offensive line stay healthy? And if they do, I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but they could definitely win the division because I think their running game, especially because Hurts is so effective, you know, on that keeper and, you know, threatening the edge, they could have the best running game in the NFL. That may sound crazy, but I think it's possible.
Well, look, Clay, great points, man. Super appreciate you calling in.
Good stuff, Clay.
I do think having Jalen Hurts is going to help the running game too, right? And with if the offensive line is healthy, Miles Sanders has shown he can be one of the more explosive backs in the league. I could definitely see their running game being really good.
I like this group of runners, and I like the fact that they're – other than Jordan Howard, they're all good receivers, whether it's Kerryon or Gainwell. Boston Scott, we know, can catch the ball. Miles, as a rookie, caught the ball really well. So they're versatile. It's an interesting group. And I'm guessing that Nick is going to run the ball, man, I would say 5 to 7 times per game more than Doug.
See, I'm more skeptical of that. I just think as long as Jeffrey Lurie is the owner, you're never going to see a head coach run the ball that much. It's what Lurie believes in. I agree with him. I don't want to see this team run the ball more. I want to see them throw the ball. That's how you win in the NFL.
I agree, but you can still be 68-32 and run it a lot more than Doug did.
That's true.
Doug was so out of whack, and I'm with you. I mean, that's how you win in the NFL. You throw the ball, but you have a young quarterback who's still finding his way. And a running game is a young quarterback's best friend. And I'm not saying run it 35 times a game, but run it enough to keep defenses off balance, run it enough to let the offensive line have a chance against the rush. And Doug didn't do that.
Yeah, I agree. And this is a bit of a cop.
And the fact that they went out and drafted Gainwell. Yep. They signed Kerryon Johnson. They re-signed Jordan Howard. That tells you that they're taking the running game seriously.
Well, they have 8 running backs on the roster right now, which, you know,
those 5 plus what? Killens.
Yeah, Killens, Holyfield.
Holyfield's still here.
Yeah, so they have 8 running backs in camp right now. Where I do think you'll see more involvement of the running backs, so, and I think it's a great point by you that they've clearly invested in the position. I think you're just going to see them more involved in the passing game, too. And sometimes screens are essentially running plays.
Yeah.
Right? So, but I think the running backs are going to be incredibly involved. I just remain skeptical that it's going to actually be through the running game with Lurie here. I just think Lurie, we can debate how involved he should be, but the reality is he is involved, and he believes in throwing the ball, and Nick Sirianni wouldn't have been hired if he was going to come in here and, you know, be 60-40 or, you know, 55-45.
Well, they're not going to be 55-45, but, I mean, you look at the Super Bowl season, and that was the most they ran the ball.
Sure.
And they got Jeff Lombardi for his trophy case. So,
yeah.
You look at that Super Bowl. How many yards did Corey Clement, Jay Ajayi, and LeGarrette Blount total in that game? Like 240.
Yep. Now so, some of it passing, but you're right. They ran.
No,
the
but
ball
I'm
big.
Not.
Yeah.
I'm not saying carries. I'm saying touches. Getting getting the backs involved. I don't care how it is, because when you're looking at Jalen Hurts, I mean, if he can get the ball to receipt to running backs in the, you know, I mean, this is what Nick's offense is. It's quick, short, high percentage throws, and let these guys make plays, and that's why they have these backs.
And that's where really Miles Sanders took a step back last year. It wasn't in his yards per carry. It really wasn't on the ground. It was Carson couldn't hit him in the flat. And Miles holds responsibility there too. He did have some drops, but if you can get Miles Sanders back up to 500-600 yards receiving like he had his rookie year, then the passing game and, you know, Miles Sanders with himself is going to be a lot more a bigger weapon on this team. All right, 215-592-9494. We're going to take a short break. But we got Rick, JB, and Chris. I see you. We're going to get to you on the other side. This is Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Elliott Shore Parks here with Ruben Frank. Day 4 of Eagles training camp. First preseason game is not that far. What are we, 2 weeks out? Week and a half? Something like that?
Yeah, a week from Thursday.
Week from Thursday, yeah. So only 3 this year. I love preseason games. I'm in the minority of it. To me, it's like, why want less games? Like these people that are saying like, oh, just cancel the preseason. Why would you want to have fewer football games? Like what's the benefit there?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I guess besides the players.
I love watching the young players.
Yep.
How do they respond to this? Because everyone looks good in training camp for the most part. And I want to see how they perform against other teams and when there's people in the stands, which we'll have this year finally. And I love them.
Yeah. And I think the other thing, we started the show talking about how I think Nick Sirianni is having a good training camp so far. I like what I've seen from him. I like that they're practicing with 2 teams. I think the joint training camp practices, to me, are the best practices you can get. I think you get the best work in. You can evaluate the best. You're seeing different schemes. I know they work with each other to a certain extent. But I think the fact the Eagles are going to practice against the Patriots and the Jets is a very good thing in preparing them for Week 1.
A lot of rookie coaches don't like to do them because they just want to put in their own thing the first year. They just want to worry about, let's get everything installed, and when these guys know the offense and the defense better, like in year 2, we'll do joint practices. But what I like about it is that it's controlled. You can, if you want to work on goal line, you know, if you play a preseason game, you might not got a rep in goal line.
Yeah.
But if you're in practice, both coaches agree we're going to do 12 reps at goal line, you know, each way with the ones against the other ones. So you can control exactly what you work on. And I just think it's good work for people to, you know, by week 3 of camp, you know everything about the guy you've been going against.
Yep.
You know all their tendencies, what they like to do, what their strengths and weaknesses are. And you can – you know, you can kind of take advantage of that. Now you're going to see guys who you don't know, and what do they have, and how can they challenge me? So I think it's good work. Looking forward to it. And the Jets practices are open, by the way. So Eagles fans can go up there. You can't watch the Eagles practice in Philly. You can watch them in Florham Park, Morris County.
Make it Lehigh.
I wish.
Yeah.
I've always thought they should have a couple practices a year at Lehigh.
Yeah, actually, you know what?
Maybe a couple of Westchester, a couple of Lehigh. But I guess logistically, it's just too hard to move everything up there for a couple days.
Yeah, look, I only covered the team. I was an intern for Gary Cobb for a few years during
– You still are, right?
Yeah, I still am, yeah. We're all Gary's interns. But No, I was only up at Lehigh for, I think, 2 years, like on and off, and it was awesome. Like, one of my memories of Lehigh is they would all come and they would report to, you know, the dorm rooms, right? And we would all hang out there, and someone would, you'd see a car and you'd run to it and you see who comes out of it. And I remember I was hanging around a little longer one time, and I see this guy walking, and he's like tall, and I'm assuming he's a player. Plus, at that point, it's mostly players. He's got this like long hair. I'm like, who could this possibly be? It was Nick Foles, just like walking around trying to figure out where he was going. And I think that was one of the cool parts about Lehigh was that you could really just get access to these guys way easier. You could get to know them better. And I didn't get to do it like you did because I was not full time. But that is, you know, and obviously with COVID going on right now, it's different. You don't get as much access. But that was one of the best parts about training camp. You know, just even just the autographs for fans. And the Eagles are doing their best this year to still make that happen. But, you know, training camp is just, it's very different than it was back at Lehigh.
Yeah, people are probably sick of me talking about Lehigh and Westchester, but I loved every minute of it. I think I only missed two practices in 17 years at Lehigh because I just loved being up there for the day and seeing like big time football settle into small town America.
It's a
lost part of football, and there's still a few teams that do it, but in the next few years they'll all be gone because you know the facilities are so nice now, but. You know, just seeing the little kids carrying the helmets and the pads and all that. And like you said, I wrote about this. I wrote my 10 favorite memories of Lehigh the other day. It's up on our site, NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. And I'll never forget the Eagles had a game in Canton, Ohio. They had played the Hall of Fame game out there in 05. And by then, Doc was – you know, we were starting to think maybe Doc had a shot at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So after practice, it was the day before they were flying out to Canton to play in the Hall of Fame game, and I wanted to ask him about going out there and if it had any extra special meaning for him. But he was signing autographs after practice for 10 minutes, 15, 20. He was out there for 45 minutes.
Wow.
And I waited and I waited and I waited. And I stood there. I was the only person left at the fields. All the writers are gone. All the coaches are gone. PR, everyone was gone. And I was just standing there waiting for – Brian Dawkins, and now I'm thinking he's got to go. He's got to go to get treatment, go to meetings, and he sees me, and he walks over to me finally, and it's like 106 degrees. I'm the only person out there. I said, Doc, I wanted to talk to you about the Hall of Fame. I know you don't have a lot of time, but can I get like one quick quote? 40 minutes later, he was still talking about how much it meant to him to be going to the Hall of Fame and how he doesn't play the game for individual honors, but that's one that he would value. And, you know, and then 10 years later, there I was in Canton watching him go into Hall of Fame.
Wow.
So you don't get that anymore. And you don't get those relationships. You don't get to tell the player stories like we used to. And that's the real sad thing to me is not being able to share those stories with the people that read our stuff. And we just can't do it anymore.
That's a different part, too, for me. I mean, I'm entering my ninth year, so I'm certainly not young at doing this. But I've never, you know, really experienced kind of the world you're talking about, right? And it is, even now, like I said, with the COVID stuff, I mean, the fact that last year, and who knows if it even happens, if, you know, we're not going through all this, but the fact that in a year like that, none of us could be in the locker room, you just don't really get to get the same vibe of the team, right? I mean, up at Lehigh, like I've heard you say, you would be out to eat and you would just run into these guys and you could talk to them. You would drive them, you know, back to practice sometimes. So it was certainly a different world. But look, I still love training camp. It's my favorite time of the year. I love watching them practice. I love watching all the players, the camp battles and all that. So still a great time. But yeah, Lehigh certainly was amazing, at least from my experiences up there. Let's go back to the phone boards. We got Rick in South Carolina. Rick, what's going on, my man?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing?
What up?
Thank you for taking my call. Pleasure to speak with you for the first time, Mr. Frank.
Hey, you too. What's going on?
You guys, your last two bits there is first of all, Lehigh. I've only been to one Eagles training camp.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it was the year before they got T.O. And a couple of memories about going to Lehigh to see training camp. I was really excited. I took in a camcorder. I thought, well, this is cool. I'll be so close. I can film some stuff, you know, show my friends. It didn't take long for them to tell me I couldn't bring that in.
I can't imagine they would want you. Now you can't even, like, have your cell phone out for portions of practice.
We have to close our eyes during some drills.
That's by choice, though, at the time.
It was interesting. No problem. I didn't argue. I took it back to the car, came back. It was fine. My other memory about that, I was down, you know, near the chain link fence there, and Trey Thomas walked by, you know, pads on everything. And I thought to myself, that's the biggest human I've ever seen in my life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Yeah, no, up in person. I mean, look, when I first started and you just see these guys, and for anyone that's been to a camp, and I will say at the NovaCare now, while it's not open, which so you can't have as many people, I do think it's a good fan experience if you get to go. Like, you're right up on the sideline, and just seeing how big and athletic these guys are in person,
right.
it is wild for someone that's never done it or had the chance to.
Right. So
now, I remember my first training camp, and there's Reggie White, in my mind, he's like 7'9",
yep.
You know, 500 pounds of sheer, you know, muscle.
Yeah. Hey, personnel wise, I think the team should be better on both sides, given the moves, mm-hmm. free agency, trades, draft, whatever, assuming health, coaching, development. On the offense, I wanted to talk about that briefly, and you were just on this topic. I read an article, if it's okay to reference, it was a Bleeding Green Nation article by Seamus Clancy talking about running 21 personnel, some lack of success with the 12.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're well-suited, you all were just pointing this out, with the running back depth. I remember last year it was really windy in Buffalo, so they were run heavy with Howard and Sanders, and they had some success. You know,
that was 2 years ago.
Like,
yeah.
Was it 2 years? Okay.
Yeah, okay.
COVID messed me up with the year there, so... Boston Scott is like Sproles. You know, Gainwell has a lot of pass catching skills. I read where he basically kept Antonio Gibson on the bench in college.
Mm-hmm.
So you carry on. You mentioned. So I'll be interested, Elliot, if you've seen any trends towards that, or if you will, and it's only 3 days in, if you will, see if they're doing some more of that, in the practice field.
Yeah. Look, and Rick, thanks for the call, man. Super appreciate it. I do think you've seen the running backs get quite a bit of targets in practice. Gainwell's gotten a few. I think Miles Sanders already has 5 in a few practices. Boston Scott, you know, that is one of the big things. One of my big takeaways from the first few days is I think coming into camp, I would have said, look, Boston's on the bubble. Like,
no.
I don't know if he's definitely going to make the team. But after 3 days, I think he's pretty clearly running back number 2 on this team.
How many targets does he have?
I would look it up, but it's got to be, you know, 5, 6, 7, something
that. Yeah, he catches the ball well. He's a really versatile player. He's a really good goal line runner. You know,
yep.
I think he's one of the better short yardage goal line, because he's got such a low, you know, you can't even see him.
Nope.
And he's got such great balance and vision.
He does have great vision. You can really see that for a smaller guy. He really is good at getting to the edge and then finding that lane there.
Yeah, and a good receiver. So, and he's a good blocker, physical guy. I like Boston Scott. I think he's a valuable guy. He'll never be an every down kind of player, but I want him on my team.
I just don't think
he's and he's a heck of a security guard, as we learned yesterday.
We saw that yesterday.
He was hilarious.
Yeah, they got good guys on this team. But to your point about him not being a every down back, I just don't think that's what the Eagles want.
Like, true.
And, you know, Miles Sanders, I think, could do it if they had to. But, you know, he's had some injury concerns. And I think it's smart. I don't think you should put all your eggs into one basket. Look at the Giants, right? Saquon goes down, and then all of a sudden, you know, what do you do on offense? So I think the fact that they don't have a number one three-down back is a huge deal, because I like the depth that they have there, and they all have different skill sets. And I think that opens things up for Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Miles is close to being –
he could do it. I just don't think they want him to, is my point.
Yeah, I think we'll see all the backs involved in different ways, and I think that makes him a more dangerous offense.
Yeah. All right, well, look, we're going to get to the other side here, take a super quick break, and I want to ask after 3 days just if the Eagles have been better or worse than you thought. And I know it's a quick take off of only 3 practices, but I'm interested to see what you think, because I know where I stand on that. And if you have an opinion, we have one more segment, you can get in, ask us a question about a player you want to know about. 215-592-9494. Elliot Shore Parks, Ruben Frank. This is Sports Radio 94 WIP. Before we get to the break, of course, and I can't believe I forgot this, because I was probably about to open it and look at it on my phone. The Parks Sportsbook, as we know, it's the official sportsbook partner of the Real Sports Fan. Golf is in full swing. You can bet on it all. You can bet on baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Live in-game play-by-play betting. It allows you to bet while you watch. While you're sitting there watching the game, you can place a bet. And it's the only sportsbook app backed by the number one casino in Pennsylvania, and the only one I recommend to my friends, to the pod listeners, anyone that calls me and James. We love using the Park Sportsbook. You can bet the money line as it changes during the game on the Park Sportsbook app and bet on individual player performances as they happen. Baseball, you can bet hits, home runs, pitcher strikeouts, every inning. You can bet every inning, every at-bat. Golf, you can bet on match winners, bet on leaders after rounds, and more. Or you can always bet on spreads. We love doing parlays. The Parks Parlay is a big part of the Go Birds pod. Props, teasers, and over-unders. New customers, sign up right now. You can get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Just download the app or you can click parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code GOBIRDS. Your risk-free bet is refunded inside credit. The website has all the details. Sports Radio, 94 WIP, Go Birds Radio. Last segment, Elliott Shore Parks. Ruben Frank, then me and you are going to head down to the NovaCare for practice tonight. Nick Sirianni's night practice going at 5:30. Bit different. I don't think I've ever covered a Eagles practice at the NovaCare at night. Normally they reserve those for the open nights at the Link now. But, yeah, nighttime practice for Nick Sirianni. Why do you think he did that? Just
Apparently it has something to do with NFL Network is going live from a bunch of different camps or something. It has
they,
to do with
they
want to
watch the Eagles practice?
Apparently.
Apparently, yeah. Well, I guess what we
so
do.
So we do whatever they want to do.
So through 3 days, I'm curious, where do you fall? And again, all the caveats. It's 3 days, overreaction, all those things. Just curious, though, after watching them now for 3 days, this team better or worse than you thought?
Well, I'm not ready to say better and worse, but I like the practices. I like the I think that the team is – I think they're buying into what Nick's doing, and I think you can tell at practice that they are. I like the tempo. As far as – I mean, it's just too early to really to come up with any big conclusions.
It's never too early, Rube.
No, it is. It's too early.
You follow me on Twitter.
I like the way they're practicing.
Yeah.
I like the way he's leading. I like the tempo. I think they're going to – I don't think they're going to suck.
I agree. I don't think they are at all. One thing I noticed, and this could be coincidental or not, but day one, I think we both agreed Jalen didn't have his best practice. He wasn't great on the first day of practice. I noticed day two, they had him rolling out a lot more. They had him on the run. And I don't know if it's just that they were planning on working on or whatever, but I do think that this is a coaching staff that is going to adjust more than the last one did. I think with Jim Schwartz and Doug Peterson, they were both so set in their ways on what they did. Schwartz especially, right?
Both of them especially.
But Schwartz had been in the league for so long. He was a great defensive coordinator overall. Doug, you're right. Doug was also set. He wanted to run his offense, the one that won the Super Bowl. And it's easy to say it at the podium, and we'll see if they actually do it. But this staff seems so much more open to actually building their offense around the skill set of the players and what they do well.
Yeah, that's for sure. And part of that is just having younger players and
yep.
and learning what they do well. But there's no question about it. And I think that they needed to get young. And the big question to me is how all these young guys on both sides of the ball are they going to make that next step in a new scheme with new coaches. And I think we're starting to see that some of them have a chance.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I think it's been impressive so far. All right, let's go to the back to the boards. Chris in Ocean City. Chris, what's going on, man? You're on Go Birds Radio.
Hey, what's up? I'm doing well. How are you, Rube? How are you, Elliot?
What up, man? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, for sure. So just have one point about Wentz and then one question for each of you.
Yep.
So I think that just from what happened yesterday in those reports, the Eagles have already won this trade with Carson. It's like,
agreed.
Gosh, that guy was such a bummer. I mean, it's like, of course he's injured, and then all the stress and turmoil that comes with that, and then you have the whole COVID thing where it appears that he's not vaccinated, won't answer questions about it. Like, just imagine if he was in Philly and you as the press pool were having to pepper him with questions and he wasn't answering, what chaos that would create.
Mm-hmm.
And then after, just dealing with that for so long, I'm just so glad that this guy is gone. It's just such a relief.
I think they don't have to worry about it anymore. I think they're better off.
For sure.
Yep. 100% agree with
you. And then just have a question for you guys. So my biggest surprise so far has been the news that Goddard and Rager failed their physicals. Mm-hmm. And it just seems particularly for those two.
Well, Goddard did the test wrong.
Yeah. The Goddard thing was more he was in great physical shape, and we've seen that. I think he honestly looks – I know everyone's in the best shape of their life right now, but he looks like he's in great shape. The physical with him was more he just did something wrong and so failed on a technicality.
But he's been practicing and all
he's
that.
He's been practicing. Jalen Reagor has not been, though. Reagor must have gotten hurt during the physical or something.
I don't think he's even hurt.
Oh, okay.
I think he's – I mean, I've been watching him run, and he's not hurt. He's not getting treatment,
uh-huh.
at least from what we can see.
That's true, yeah.
He's just out there trying to get fit, I think. That's what it looks like. But anyway, go ahead.
I was just curious, in your guys' experience covering the team, is that something that is common around the league for guys to fail them? And do they have to wait like a certain amount of time to take it again? Or why can't it just be like a quick fix?
Yeah, because I don't think he's ready to pass it. It's not like a rule that you have to pass this. You know,
it's a coaching.
They just don't want him to practice until he's ready. And I mean, he looks like he's a ways away from being where he needs to be. Now I know there, as Jeff McClain reported, a close friend, a childhood friend of his was murdered. I know there's circumstances there, but this is a big year for Jalen Reagor. Last year was really disappointing, and they need him. I mean, the guy's a first-round pick. He's going into year two, and this is not a good way to begin it. And, it is unusual because, yes. In the old days, like when I started covering the team, the guys would get in shape. Training camp was 6 weeks long, so the first couple of weeks were just to kind of work yourself into shape. But now there's so much money at stake, and with injuries and salary cap, you got to report in great shape. You have to, and he didn't, and it's very disappointing.
Yeah, that's wild. And then just one last question for you guys, and I'll listen off air. Mm-hmm. In terms of the new coaching staff, has anything stuck out to you about any position coaches or any differences that you're noticing from the position coaches from last year to this year? And thank you all both. Love you.
Yep, thanks for calling in, Chris. Super appreciate it. Look, it's like I said, I think they seem more open to adjusting. I don't know if I'd say they're more hands-on or not. I haven't really got a great read on how Sirianni is on the practice field because he honestly doesn't stand out much. Like, I don't think he's not, like, super vocal running all around. I think when you see him on the press conferences, you think that he's going to be this wild child out on the field. But he's pretty measured, I think. He steps back. He lets his coaches do his job. I've seen him, he does seem to correct on the field more than the last staff. The last staff seemed to be more of, let's keep it moving and we'll do it in the film room. It seems like he's a little more into that. But overall, there's not been any signature moment where I've been like, okay, look at that guy,
Well, calling the meeting yesterday was kind of his signature moment. But I've been impressed by the fact that there's one thing I hate is loud coaches because they're kind of showing off.
Agreed.
For the people that are there. And we've all seen those guys. The Washburns and just guys who
Schwartz would do it every once in a while.
But this is a very business-like staff, it seems like.
Yeah.
And when they need to tell someone something, it's not about embarrassing him or humiliating him. It's about going up to him, give him the coaching point and move on. And I think that's good. I mean, we've all seen those coaches that are, show-offy and trying to show off what they have and who they are. That's not how you get players to improve.
No, and I think this staff, what I like about them is they're young and they're all extremely motivated and they know they need each other, right? I don't think there's a lot of egos in that coaching room right now. All right, man, good show. We're going to head off to practice soon, but we would be remiss. We would be remiss. There we go. If we didn't end the show with a shout out to my man Kevin,
it wouldn't be Elliot doing a shout out without missing a word or two.
I know. I'm not good at expressions like that. Like behind baseball, I can never get right.
Let me just say one thing, because I've been at IP since I don't even know when, like 94.
Yeah.
I've worked with a lot of producers, and I just like to say that Kevin is one of them.
There you go.
So I appreciate that, Roof. Thank you.
No, he's a pro, and it's been great working with him. And we just wish you luck in all you do. And, some producers just sit there and push the buttons. Kevin gets involved in the show, and it's been great working with you. And hopefully we see you back here, but whatever, we wish you all the best.
I appreciate it, and that seems to be the plan for now. But, you never know what the future holds. But hopefully I'll be back down the line. So hopefully I get to work with you guys again.
Any memories stand out? I mean, I know we hope you're back, so hopefully it's a premature goodbye. But you've been here a long time. I mean, any memories stick out?
What was your first shift
it's
like?
It's funny. It put me on the spot, but I was telling a buddy of mine the other day, and it only happens two or three times a year, at least to me. But I particularly enjoyed when breaking news would happen, and you would just throw out the rundown, and everything's breaking loose, and you're calling it on the fly. Like, for me, that was fun. And when you walk out of the building, you just really felt like you were a part of something that day. It was that happened to me a handful of times, and that was a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, that's always wild. I haven't done it a ton, but being on air for that.
I was on the air when Donovan got traded.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool because I had to write while I was taking it. I was like, just keep talking.
Yeah. No, well, look, who knows? Maybe we'll be on there for some breaking news moving forward. But, Kevin, look, seriously, I know as someone that's been new to radio, you've really helped me, and It's been a blast working with you, and I super hope you come back. You're successful in what you do, but I wouldn't mind seeing you back, too.
I appreciate it, man, and I'll be texting you about some reality shows.
Oh, without question. Me and Kevin enjoy reality TV. So
yeah, you can keep me out of that text
chain.
Yeah,
you can be out of that one. But thanks to everyone that called today. Like I said, we're going to head to practice. We'll be potting this. As always, you can get it in the Go Birds feed. And this has been Sports Radio 94 WIP. John Johnson is up next. I'm sure talking Eagles as well. And talk to you guys next week.